minute switch gears. It's always hard to go from a kid's story to having to say something responsible to the adults, but today is another step in our life of our congregation. Again, grateful for Randy and all of his leadership and all that he has done for us, the guidance and directions he has given over the past couple years, the fact that Beth is here. We're just very thankful to be able to take these, looking to take the next steps in this life. So, Randy, I'm going to let you take over from there.
Thank you. I think you can keep the, you can still talk like a kid because I'm just a big kid in many ways. Someone told me you can be young only once, but you can be immature forever. I think they were trying to tell me something when they said that. It is good to be here. It's good to have walked with you, and I know Marta has been a blessing to you, and I continue to hear good things, and I'm blessed by that. I'm always encouraged when I come and worship with you for the richness of the voices that you share in worship. I'm happy to introduce Beth. I would like to be able to say I've known her for a long time, but that's not really true. I think we first met back in January, maybe? Yeah. After the new year sometime, someone had said to me, they knew I was working with you all at Wellspring, and they said, do you know Beth, and maybe you want to meet her. So from there, I reached out to her, and we worked together to meet. And I think the couple of things I would just like to share as I introduce Beth is I've been really encouraged by not only her openness and what I would call a teachable spirit, but I would even say an eagerness to learn. In fact, some of the work that she's already done the last couple of months has been to learn how to work at some things that she wants to improve upon. So, Beth, that's been an encouragement for me to see. Also, I would note that her compassion for people is evident. As you're with Beth and get to know her, you can just tell that's very important to her. And then thirdly, as she's talked of some of the work she's done at Deep Run East, she's been in a role there for 5 or 6 years. I was just very impressed by some of the different things she's tried, trying to connect different people, trying to connect different churches, trying to help people learn in a variety of ways. And so I've just been blessed to have gotten to know her, and I think you'll be blessed by her sharing today. As I invite her, and I'm going to, if it's okay, Beth, can I just pray before you come? If you want to come up here and say, and I'll just distance a little bit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would be with Beth as she speaks. Lord, I know she's worked on this. I pray that you would give her confidence that people will hear what they need to hear. I pray that you would be with us to listen, to discern what it is you want from us to take from this. What we need to work at, what we need to become by following you, your spirit. And may your grace be evident to all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great. Good morning and welcome. It is so good to see all of you here. And for those that may be listening, do you have people listening at home perhaps this morning? We're thankful that you're here as well, and we can't wait for you to be here with all of us. I truly appreciate this opportunity to be here with all of you. I find my strength in the promise that nothing in this world can separate us from Jesus' love. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us. You walk with us through the present and prepare us for the future. May the words and the songs shared this morning be a blessing, a continued blessing, and encouragement to all who hear them. How many of you have ever heard of Camp Menelin? Camp Menelin? Yay, you're like my people. Camp Menelin is a Christian camp in Quakertown, and I was so blessed to have the opportunity to go there as a teenager, and I shared with Randy that I was there as a waitress, assistant counselor, head counselor, and then I actually became the camp secretary, and I really thought that I would be owning Camp Menelin at one point in my life. That hasn't happened yet. While I was there, one of the first few years I was there, my parents purchased this Bible for me. And so today's sermon is based on the very first two Bible verses that I had written as a teenager in my Bible. So I kind of filled up the front and the back throughout the years with meaningful and purposeful verses. First, John 3:3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." At this time, when this was written, Jesus was now the Savior of the world, and Nicodemus was watching. Nicodemus was a very old gentleman, a very religious man, a Pharisee in the land of Israel. There were so many Pharisees in Israel at the time, and they took the Ten Commandments and they expanded them to over 600 commandments. The Pharisees and those that ruled the Jews were the inner circle at that time. They were a very prestigious group of leaders filled with knowledge. And it would be very unlikely, highly unlikely, that a Pharisee would be seen in a crowd following Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark of night, and he asked, "What is it to be born again? How can a man be born again when he is old?" Right then, right there, Jesus delivered his greatest teachings, the qualifier that has never changed. Jesus replied, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." A new birth comes divinely through the gift of this Holy Spirit. A personal relationship develops with Jesus, our Lord. Perhaps Nicodemus recognized that being born again was not an action or an emotional experience. The Word of God in our hearts allows us to become doers of God's Word. Later, Nicodemus, it is noted that he was present when Jesus died, and he actually brought oils to prepare his body for burial. What a gift, what truly is a gift for all of us is to have this Holy Spirit in our hearts. When we become born again, we know we're not perfect, but our Lord and Savior will always be with us. As Christians, when we submit our lives to Christ, Christ is in our hearts, he's in our minds, and he's in our attitudes always. The next verses, truly became a very meaningful part of my life through something pretty traumatic. In my Bible, I have 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but I'm going to share with you verses 16, 17, and 18. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you through Christ Jesus." I'm going to go back to Camp Menelan and tell you a little story of a situation that had occurred while I was a teenager in the early 70s working as a waitress. The waitresses and I were doing our nighttime devotions before bed, and we looked at each other and decided how hungry we felt, and that we knew there were bippies in the kitchen. Bippies are huge breakfast buns that are sprinkled with a vanilla icing. The Landis family used to make the bippies from Milford Township or Milford Square. And we decided that we would sneak into the kitchen. Actually, it's breaking into the kitchen, but I know I'm forgiven for this. So we broke into the kitchen and we stole the bippies, and they were frozen solid. Well, back in the olden days, they did not have microwaves, so the next best thing was the dryer. So we went into the basement, and we put the bippies that were wrapped in plastic into the dryer, and it's going thump, 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 and Michelle and another waitress and myself were thinking, "Oh, what are we doing? What are we doing?" And then the camp administrator walked in and said, "What are you doing?" And so we told a fib. We said we were drying our sneakers. I know we're forgiven for that as well, but for three young girls who were so hungry and knew we were doing something so bad, we found it humorous as we grabbed the bippies out of the dryer, ran back, ate frozen bippies, and from that point on, our lives were changed and we decided never to steal again. So I'm going to refer back to that story, but I wanted you to know that the Landis Bippies are for real. The Loft is another Christian camp up in the Poconos. And when I shared that story with one of my friends and she went to the Poconos, she found a Bippy t-shirt. So they are real. They still exist. And I am the proud owner of a Bippy t-shirt. Okay. So my life was fun going to Camp Manalan and learning a lot about God and Jesus. 20 years later, in June of 2004... my son was diagnosed with some form of cancer. He had just received his first blood transfusion, and we were going on the elevator from the first floor to the third floor to the oncology floor. He had already had an IV drip in, and just a few months before, I had learned that my husband didn't love me anymore. So I'm in this elevator, and I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And I was numb, and I was scared, and I was really trying not to cry in front of Bradley. In everything, give thanks, was going through my mind. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Jesus. How? In everything, give thanks. How can I rejoice in this opportunity? Well, in those few minutes, I actually felt the Holy Spirit with me and within me. And to have that physical feeling that Jesus was with me at that very moment was a life-saving moment for me. My memorized verse came to my mind, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And I was praying and praying and praying. My circumstances were changing minute by minute, but God's love never changed. I needed, at that point, to be in constant conversation with God. And I promised myself that I would enter into prayer whenever I felt like just lying down and crying, because lying down and crying wasn't going to help me. It wasn't going to help my son. It wasn't going to help people who were watching us go through this. The Bible tells us that God knows what he is doing, even when we cannot understand it. He works things according to the counsel of his will. That's from Ephesians 1:11. Once off the elevator, we had turned to Bradley's room. He was dragging that little IV pole with him. There were a lot of children who were bald from the chemotherapy. At that point, we're not in his room yet, and I heard someone yelling my name. And I turned around, and it was Michelle, one of my famous Bippy Steeler partners, in that hospital, right as I got off the elevator. Brad went with his nurse, got settled in his room, and I stood in that hallway, absolutely feeling like a wet noodle. Michelle had been a nurse in a totally different state. We've lost contact. I had no idea that she was at Children's Hospital, and she was standing right by that elevator when I got off. She shared with me that she could help me once we understood what form of cancer Bradley had, and she shared her phone number with me, and she encouraged me to call her with any questions, and somehow our conversation became a positive conversation about relying on God. And yes, we discussed our Bippy stealing at Camp Manalan, and we actually ended up giggling over that event. Wow. Wow. From feeling so nervous and so scared to feeling like there is hope, to meeting a Christian friend who was a nurse on Bradley's floor, to giggle about stealing Bippies within minutes. God is good. God is good. Bradley is doing well. He went through 3.5 years of chemotherapy to survive acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Praise God. Praise God. As Christians, it is such a blessing to understand that we are never walking alone. Here are several key points from 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18 that I would like to revisit with you. Jesus encourages us to rejoice in happy times. Not only in happy times, but in sorrowful times as well. Of course, rejoicing in sorrowful times can be so very difficult. It is at these times that we truly need to trust in Jesus. and know that we will gain strength and courage and confidence. These are all the tools that we're going to rely on when the next thing comes along. And there's always a next thing that comes along. These are the tools we trust in to help others along the way. Our situations change all the time, but we need to know that God does not. These are lessons to be learned in joyful and unhappy times. We need to open our hearts to learn and grow in Christ's love. Prayer. Prayer is communication with God. We can actually be and should try to be in consistent prayer throughout the day. Maggie Shannon, the author of Prayers for Healing, shares that she had witnessed how God speaks to us and through the circumstances in our lives, and yet she found it hard to pray when she became caught up in the erroneous sense that she didn't have time to pray. We need to make time to pray. We need to be encouraged to have flowing conversation with God all day long. To be uplifted through prayer helps with all situations, the big ones and the small ones. Take time to pray. I've been praying for you for months as this whole process started, and I appreciate your prayers for me. Gratitude. When we practice joy in Jesus and prayer, a sense of gratitude arises. We can be thankful for his working in us and through us. This is a quote from an anonymous author about gratitude. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. It is a powerful catalyst for happiness. Through Jesus and prayer, we learn gratitude. And gratitude turns what we have into enough. It is a powerful catalyst for happiness. Finally, in all circumstances, we can believe this is God's will. So we can do it. We can work through it. We can get through all things. And we can grow in all circumstances. Christian writer Kelly Barbre wrote, "What wonderful news that the Lord is with us during days of crisis, as well as those mediocre days filled with mundane tasks, migraines, and rainy days. Remembering this grace in our weakness easily becomes a shining moment for God's heavenly strength. God never promised us smooth sailing, but he does promise that he will be right there beside us, restoring us and urging us onward. He is there to fill us so we can continue to fill others. He is there to fill us so that we can continue to fill others." May we continue to be filled by having a personal relationship with Jesus and sharing his grace with others. God's sovereign hand is in charge. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to find our way through the everyday situations of life. We cannot do anything on our own, but through Christ, we can do all things. It is comforting to know you are with us always. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for allowing us to feel gratitude for big things and for little things. Help us to love others, to bless others, and to encourage them along the way. We lift up those affected by COVID-19, and we give thanks for all of our frontline workers. Thank you for walking with us through all circumstances. And we thank you for your sovereign hand to guide us always. Amen.
So we're going to do a sermon response time. And Beth and May and Linda are going to take care of lunch, which they don't have to go. So any response? anything. Definitely appreciate your honesty of life, and it's been, we've all, lots of bumps and bruises, all of us, so thank you. Yes.
I want to read this from Job. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? First God is gone. He replied, we're talking like a 31. Shall we accept good from God and not for it?"
Last bullet from him. And I eat patience. What happens? The guys say, the trouble's gone. I just stand on the rock of Jesus and let the wind blow. Hold on to him. Hand him over to him.
Sometimes it's so hard to understand why we go through what we go through, big things and little things. But then when you have the opportunity to go back and say, oh, that's why that happened, because it moved me on to the next thing, I find that a gift.
Yeah.
And we won't always know that. Some sad things happen and we don't know why, but maybe somebody who's watching will be learning from us and our reaction.
I heard an interesting kind of quote this week, it's hard for me to get caught up in, if you're not consciously aware, you just kind of drift. But what I heard was, in context of living, God is always putting in commas where I tend to put periods.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been using that to try to keep your mind focused and open and stop. It's just so hard for me to be aware of and let God be. I'm very impatient and stubborn, and I want to do it now, and so it's hard.
And I think, I've been thinking a lot about with this pandemic. Yeah, it butterflies have been lost, and should have been lost perhaps, but at the same time, we've had time to either be with our families, there's been more home cooked meals, we're not running and running and running. Some people are learning that our families are more important. The technology and everything that we have, that's great for, we can't meet, so we have Zoom, that's great, but at the same time, what's really important is our families and our relationships with God and Jesus. And in some ways, we all need to slow down. I mean, there's a flip side of that. And I can't get that two sides, so
yeah.
It has two sides too, and it's sad, but there's that, there's a silver lining.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about the words of nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing, no matter what. And that's been a good reminder. And in talking with a friend just the other week, and we were talking about all the things going on in the world, and she said she's been reminding herself, we hear the phrase Black Lives Matter, and she brings it back to, I matter. I matter to God. I matter. And that to her has just the conversation of, yes, I do matter. And God's with us. Yeah. Amen. Not anything else. We'll have time for questions and conversations.